Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dealing with Life Stuff podcast. My name is Fernando Ceballos.
And I'm Randy Strug.
And welcome to the episode. On a better, more positive note, what else can we transition to on everything going on?
Man, I started watching Avatar, The Last Airbender, or I've watched Avatar, The Last Bender.
That's a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
With the bald guy?
Yeah, and The Legend of Korra. Man, those are incredible shows. Like, as an adult that's watched them, like 26 years old, those are both incredible shows.
What are they about?
It's like mythology. It's a really great condensed mythology into a lot of practical lessons for kids and for people in general.
So is the intended audience adults for those shows?
It's like, think of it like a Disney movie.
No, I'm saying like when the creators, like
no,
whoever
and, I,
the creators
and I'm telling
are.
You, like think okay. of it like a Disney movie, like how everyone can find meaning in a Disney movie, whether it's adults or kids.
Okay.
That's how I kind of think about it.
Like the Pixar movies, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like everyone can find enjoyment and like learn something from it, which I think is really cool. Plus, The Legend of Korra, whether they meant to or not, all of the villains are analogous to, like, the first season is analogous to, like, communism, the main villains, and then the second season's, like, apocalyptic. Third season is nihilism and anarchism. Fourth season is authoritarianism. It's really interesting. Yeah.
So they're political shows?
I don't know. I don't think they were intended to. I think that's just what happened.
Do you think it's people who dig too deep into it and find those parallels?
No, I think it's just a standard human mythological archetype that just transcends our culture across time. It's like
the whole communist thing that you're saying.
What?
Like you said, the first season is this, second season is that.
Uh-huh.
So that happened by default by the creators of the show? Or people found those themes after seeing the show collectively?
I don't know what other people have said about the show. This is all my interpretation.
So you're saying that the themes that you found were based on your interpretation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because like the season one villains, it's very similar to communism. Season two, it's just standard apocryphal or apocalyptic story. Mythology.
But you haven't looked into it to see whether or not that was the intention.
It doesn't matter if it was the intention
I'm
or not.
I'm just curious to know like if you've done the research.
I don't care what their intention was. That's the art that I'm interpreting.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the point of art.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody takes whatever they want to take from the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I can make a very strong case for why those are very analogous.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. I'm just curious, right? Because, I mean, sometimes you look at a movie, you look at a show, and, like, you take this from it. I mean, I usually do that whenever I'm like, okay, is this what I got from this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Did everybody else, was this the intention of the movie? So I'll go and look up to something. And like, oh, a bunch of other people thought the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious if you were doing the same thing or not.
Oh, no.
Sounds like you don't.
No, not really. I'll just tell people about it in person, but I don't look shit up. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, too.
Not, sure. It's not my thing.
The Legend of Korra. That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. I'd recommend watching Avatar first, Last Airbender, also on Netflix.
So I watched one of the episodes of The Legend of Korra.
Uh-huh.
And I think she's like leaving some island, goes to the main city, and when she gets to the main city, that bald guy with the arrows there, the statue.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the airbender?
Yeah, that's from the first series, Avatar. That's the last airbender.
And that was like a long show, wasn't it?
Three seasons of like 20 episodes, 18, 20. And then Korra is like four seasons of 18 or so. But damn, both are...
So it's been around for a while then, right?
I think they both... Avatar was maybe mid-2000s, and then Korra was maybe like 6-7 years ago.
So at least a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people recommend, like, you watch a show or have your kids watch a show.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
No, for real, it's worth watching.
Is there any other, that's considered anime, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Is there any other anime that you watch?
I used to watch anime as a kid, but I haven't watched it in a long time. But I just happened to get turned on to Avatar.
Yeah. The only one I watched was Dragon Ball, but I don't think it counts.
Oh, yeah. I watched a ton of Dragon Ball Z. I've seen that whole series through like two or three times.
Because it was Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, AF.
AF, like no, AF wasn't a thing. They came out with Dragon Ball Super.
G or something like that. Super.
Yeah, it was GT and then Dragon Ball Super.
GT, yeah.
Yeah, GT was garbage.
Yeah, that was different.
Yeah. Which sucked. I don't recommend watching Dragon Ball Z as an adult, though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It
does not hold up.
Yeah. I've watched a few episodes. I'm like, yeah, no.
So much filler.
I don't want to ruin it as
a
child.
Yeah, well, there's just there's just so much filler.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I didn't even comprehend how much damn filler there was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, good Lord, something happened, please. You know why it was all filler, right?
Uh-uh.
Because in Japan, I don't think they had seasons for shows, so they did pump out a new episode every week, and the show started coming out faster than the manga it was based on. So they had to just start putting in filler while they waited for the story to be written.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of those Freezer episodes. Frieza. Those are long episodes.
Yeah.
Or long, like, fights.
Yeah. It takes Goku a whole damn episode to go Super Saiyan.
Yeah. Or man, like, there was episodes where, like, this is the whole podcast is going
somewhere.
Yeah,
this is kind of a weird turn, but I'm cool with it.
Yeah, there's, like, that one episode where he's flying to Namek. What was the name?
Namek.
Namek.
Yeah.
And all he's doing is doing push-ups in that capsule. Yeah. Anyways, cartoons.
Yeah, sorry. Man, this podcast has been an interesting one. Sunday night podcasts.
Yeah, they're always interesting. It's been this is our first time doing a Sunday night, right?
Yeah. Well, I know we did like a Monday night one at one point. And that one was rough. That one was rough.
You definitely care. I remember talking to you in the beginning. I'm like, you're going to have to carry us, man, because I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, I'm like, yeah, that was not good.
Yeah. This one, we're just kind of like weekend mode, loosey-goosey.
Loosey-goosey, just so much going on, like, especially right now with the whole political world thing. Like,
yeah, it's pretty much unavoidable to talk about politics with anyone, which is annoying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good thing, though. I mean, it's annoying in the sense of there's a lot going on. But it's good in the fact that a lot of people are starting to get more comfortable talking about it rather than just saying, I'm not a political person.
Yeah.
People are now starting to say, like, I may not be educated when it comes to everybody, but I have my opinion and this is what I think we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And at least more people are voting.
Yeah. I think it was something like 50 million people have already voted for early voting. I early voted. I'm sure you've probably already voted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm voting tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was supposed to go last Thursday, but I only did half of my research because there is other positions being run other than president. And so
what?
Yeah. So I didn't want to, like, I don't vote straight party.
Mm.
So I want to make sure that I'm voting for the right people.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Because if I get there and I'm like, who's this? And who's that?
Yeah, man. I got a political mailer. That was like the dumbest thing I'd ever seen because I think it was two congressmen that are running right now. And it was talking about their stances on things. And the one guy on the left, they were sourcing all of his stances, and then the one guy on the right, he had like totally opposite stances, but all the sources were from his like campaign website. And I was like, what? Come on,
you can't source your own stuff.
Yeah, like no, that's stupid.
Well, the other, I've seen a few of them, like the mailers, all it is bash the other person.
Yeah, it's so gross.
I don't get it.
Yeah, man, I remember when people you could run on campaign or like policy issues.
Well, even that, like, you talk to certain people, I'm like, why are you voting for this person?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's what, I like the name.
Mm. Yeah. Ooh, you know what? I do have a tinfoil prediction for 2024's campaign. I think the Democratic platform is going to be breaking up big tech.
What's that?
Big tech, like the industry.
Oh, big tech.
Yeah. I think the Democratic platform is going to run on breaking up big tech.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's my guess.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
I could see that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I think big tech has gotten too in over their skis, and I think they do probably need to be broken up in some fashion.
Do you think it's a government job to do that?
Well, I think it is in the instance of Facebook and Twitter acting like publishers and not platforms, because they seem to have now indicated that they are acting as publishers and not platforms, which means they have to be regulated differently and treated differently by the law.
So all of the magazines are treated differently by the law.
Mm-hmm.
How so?
It's something to do with tax implications. Mm. And I don't remember all of the facets of it. You'd have to ask Travis. But yeah,
so it's more of a taxing thing than necessarily a like speech thing.
It's part speech too.
Okay.
Yeah, because the censorship comes into question. Like Brett Weinstein just got completely banned from Facebook. Mm. Like all of his stuff got deleted, even though he had millions of fans connect, and they didn't give him a reason why.
Wow.
Yeah, and this happened last week. Tulsi Gabbard was like, this is horseshit. And Tulsi Gabbard's, I know, suing YouTube and Google for, like, censorship right now.
But what's wrong with that, though?
Well, so Tulsi Gabbard, like, YouTube intentionally censored...
But I'm saying, like, what's wrong with a... Sorry. This is going to be a tricky subject here.
Okay.
And I'm going off of... Like, I've I haven't really thought any of this through.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just asking a question.
Sure.
The same way that a store chooses to say, I'm not going to give you service.
Uh-huh.
Why can't a platform do the same thing?
Well, no, they can, but then they're not a platform. Then they're a publisher. That's the thing. And they are treated differently under the law.
But I'm saying it's like, it's still a business though. Business say, I refuse to serve you?
Well, yeah, they can, but I'm telling you, like, you can't, but they're trying to operate as a business where they can't say that is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's like saying, I'm going to go to this restaurant and I'm going to have whoever I want there. I'm trying to think of a good way to formulate this.
Maybe thinking about two different things here. One of them is just like the platform versus publisher thing. Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about. I was maybe talking about a different thing where I'm saying as a platform,
you can't block anyone for whatever reason as a platform. Like, you have to have a very specific and good reason to do so.
Huh.
Yeah.
But that's like a new law, right? I mean, that doesn't really...
Well, that's the thing. The law has never been really written for that. There's one section of the law that, like, the publishers or the platforms are using to, like, get away with everything that they're doing. And, like, one of the recent things, Trump had an executive order to have it interpreted because he thinks that they might be getting over their skis, too.
So, platforms are its own thing. It's not like a business.
It is a business, but it is a but the platform is the business. But if you're a platform, you have to give people a platform. If you're right. A publisher, you can choose who gets published.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're going to operate as a platform, you have to give the platform to everyone. If you're going to send,
that's what the law says.
Well, the law's very ambiguous because it's never been written specifically for big tech, because this is all brand new to our civilization.
So they're not really breaking the law then.
Well, they are, in that it's act. That's the question. That's what we're trying to figure out, and if they need to be broken up, because we need to figure out if they are breaking law. How is the spirit of the law supposed to be interpreted, and are they breaking the spirit of that law? Gotcha. That's the question right now.
But right now, I guess right now we really can't say that they're breaking the law.
Well, we can argue that they are, and that's what's going on. Like, I know one of the Senate Affairs Committee. Is called for Mark Zuckerberg and for Jack Dorsey to be like come speak testify to the U.S. Senate for interfering in the election.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Yep, it's very tricky, very complicated, which is why I think it's a great platform to run on.
But if like, I don't know, like some of those things, it's because it's also brand new, right? I mean, We talk about. The media, we talk about these platforms, talk about Hollywood, music industry, like all of these different things it's what is educating our and creating society and culture as we know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, like, aren't these individuals allowed to do whatever they want? Like, they're just doing their business?
Well, yeah, but you have to operate within the confines of what you're allowed to operate within. And the argument is that right, they're operating outside of those bumpers.
Sure, but what I'm saying is for someone to say that they altered the election process, like they're not doing like fake votes.
No, but they are like if they are choosing who to censor as a candidate or whose posts to promote, then they're or like if let's say like because the whole point of this coming up was the censoring of that New York Post article about Hunter Biden and. They kind of treated it with a double standard because like they're like we can't prove the source or anything, but yet they advocated for when like the Steele dossier came out, which was totally fabricated, that the FBI even knew was fabricated. So it's like, all right, well, you have a double standard here, and as like, are you censoring it just because it's a conservative publication? And that's where the question of it comes in, like, are you acting as a publisher rather than a platform?
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, I think big tech should probably be regulated a little bit. Yeah. And I don't like regulation, but I think it probably needs some regulation.
Like, what are the reasons? What are the main reasons that you think that needs to happen?
Because I think they're unfairly censoring people, and I think they're using that power intentionally. Like,
but isn't it the same thing with like everything else? I mean, money talks. Like, other people will censor other people.
Well, yeah, but again, this is coming to the point of you're going to say you're one thing but act as another. That's
where So they are a publisher.
Yeah, then it's like, okay, great. Do whatever the fuck you want.
But then you can't disrupt. you can't disrupt tech then. I mean, if they say, you know what, screw it, we'll take the tax implications and we'll become a publisher.
But then they open up for the platform for someone else to come take their spot, which is where I'm like capitalism. Like, someone come be the better platform and take away their power.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like, yeah, it's tough to say. I feel like I've had some friends in the past tell me, like, you can't invent anything these days. Everything's been invented. And with the whole, I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Same thing with the platform thing. I was going to say, I mean, it's Facebook, like Instagram. Yeah,
just because no one's thought of it yet doesn't mean it's not going to exist.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, if they do become the publisher, like, they become the publisher.
Right.
And it is what it is.
And it seems like such a thing, like, people take for granted, like, Facebook now, even, like, it's like, oh, yeah, I could have come with that. No, you couldn't. Like, no, you couldn't have. Like, same thing with Uber. Everyone's like, oh, it's so genius. It's so genius because it is such a great idea, but doesn't mean you could have thought of it.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's a very tricky situation.
And that's what makes, like, a lot of these topics really difficult to talk about sometimes.
Because
you don't have all the information in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of times people get into trouble when they try to talk out of their ass and say, I kind of know a little bit of this, but let's just see how far I can get. And then this particular instance, like with a podcast, like everything's being recorded. People are out there, right?
Yeah.
So there's certain things that I don't feel comfortable even brainstorming with you on.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, it goes back to like, if I have political aspirations one day, this could come back and like bite me in the ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to say, well, Ferrano thinks about it from this perspective and publishing versus, or publisher versus platform, and he believes this. And it just makes it tough to like want to even talk about these subjects.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing that I feel comfortable telling other people is like, at least have the conversations.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you get to your point where like, I've reached my element and I don't know any more about this, like feel free to just tap out. But the tricky thing is like, when you have conversations like these with some people, I feel comfortable talking to you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're not going to take advantage of me.
No.
And other times I've had conversations with other people, like they'll taste blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like Fernando doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah.
When I come after him.
Right.
And like they've done the research and they just like, they make me feel like crap.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes me like not want to talk to them. Right.
Right.
Talk about the subject at all completely.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that I want to encourage people to do is like, if you have instances where the person makes you feel like crap, like don't just completely say, I'm never going to talk about politics again or X subject.
Yeah.
That's not fair to you.
Yeah. And like, I speak confidently on that topic, but like, I could totally be wrong too. And like, I'm open to being critiqued on that. And like, that's part of the conversation. It's like, hey, I'm confident up until a point that I'm proven wrong. And then I'm willing to accept the fact that I'm wrong and change.
Yeah.
Like that's how we should all be. But like, I'm not trying to assert my dominance just by being more confident and knowing it. It's like, no, that's not the point.
Yeah. It's tough, man. There's just so many things out there that, like you were saying earlier, I don't have time for that. Like, it's tough.
Again, you got to prioritize your time. Like, if you're like, whatever you're taking in, like that's what's going out too. Like, if you're just absorbing like this hatred off of politics, like if you hate someone because they voted for someone else, like that's what you're exporting to from yourself and your soul. But like, I kind of think of it like, whatever you import to your soul, that's what you're going to export to other people.
Yeah.
And you got to think about what you're giving your soul.
I mean, you are what you consume, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it boils down to that.
Yep.
And we just need to consume better things.
Yep. Yep. A lot more Avatar, a lot more Legend of Korra, for sure.
Well, I hope everyone enjoyed this Scatterbrain podcast episode.
Yeah, very ADD episode.
Potentially, we will be having a guest next episode.
Yeah, we're working on, it'll, I guess, be in a few episodes because we chopped these up, don't we?
Well, this will be the last one before they go into the next series. So this is like the closing part. So
okay.
So yeah, us telling him this is the right order.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, next episode we should have, be working with some guests. We'll keep it on the DL for now, but I talked to them last night and we just need to get it scheduled.
Sweet. So that is a potential. If not, you will be hearing our voices again and next week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
Cool. Take care. Bye.
Bye.